Good morning, City View.
Good morning.
You get the, come on, someone. You got it. All right. Some people got it. All right. You know, Robin Williams, Good Morning Vietnam. I don't know how to do it. I didn't really watch the movie. I just saw the commercials where they talked about that. Kind of a sad thing this last week. But how about this video? You like this video? That's good. I'll explain that in a little while. I love this video. I picked it out. I know it's not a really high, and I was thinking about this. Okay, you're going to show a video. She's a shepherd, sheep following. Some of you I already know I put to sleep. But I got to tell you, I love this video. See, about 2 hours west of here, I grew up in a little town called Mooresville. It used to be more of a farming community, had a little state college there. Now it's the college is kind of big and all. But we had a hobby farm there. My father taught auto mechanics, auto body. He was an administrator in the BOCES system out there for a while. But we had a little hobby farm, about 200 acres, and on it we had one time we had 13 horses, thousands and thousands, not thousands, but maybe 1,000 types of different birds, chickens, ducks, geese, guinea hens, pheasants, peacocks. I mean, in my dining room, not my dining room, in my parents' dining room, I guess it'd be my dining room, we had this incubator. Y'all know what an incubator is? Incubator is something that you incubate things in. Incubators, what you do is you put eggs in it and you try to hatch eggs. And we had this incubator that sat in our dining room that was a good 5 foot tall, because I know I was little, okay, so I was looking up at it. I'll leave it alone. It was like 5 feet tall and probably 5 feet long, and it was about a good 2.5 feet wide. It had this big door that you opened up, and in it was all these trays, and my father had thousands, probably could hold 1,000. Like, I don't know if it had, couldn't do 2,000, so it's not 1,000. Anyways, had probably 1,000 eggs in it, and we had chicken eggs, geese eggs, duck eggs, and we had this one thing on the side of our barn that we put, I mentioned it, peacocks in it, and pheasants, and we had all these exotic animals. We had guinea hens running all around. Anyone know what a guinea hen is? We had all these animals. We used to have pigs. I remember this one time. I mean, I'm a little boy. We moved out on this farm when I was like a year and a half old, and we had some pigs. And my mother went out in her robe to get the mail, and on her way back in, this big old sow. I mean, this sow must have weighed 400 or 500 pounds. Got loose and started chasing my mother. Now, you know the storm doors. You know how it's got the bottom panel, then it's got the next panel that's a glass. I'm looking out that one, so I'm like this tall. I'm little, and I'm watching this pig chase my mother around the picnic table. And pretty soon, my mother jumps up on the picnic table, and the pig keeps running around the picnic table, and she's screaming, "John!" calling for my dad. And my dad's in the bathroom, so he can't get out there too quick. I mean, I could tell you some stories. One of the things when I was real little, my dad told my mother that he's going to go to an auction to get a few sheep. So he went out that night, and he came home with about 50 sheep, okay? And my dad didn't stop there. He went to a few more auctions. We literally had, what do we call a group of sheep? Anyone know? Herd? Nope. A flock. There we go. She's a farmer. Your mom's a farmer. She knows these things. A flock of sheep. You should know that from the Bible, Kim. sheep are really stupid, by the way. But we regularly had a flock of sheep of about 200. And these sheep are crazy. During the spring, it was kind of the lambing season, we would have about 75 lambs born each spring. And sometimes the mother would abandon the child. Sometimes the mother would die during childbirth, lamb birth. Sheep birth, I don't know what it is. It's not really childbirth. We didn't have that kind of a farm. I remember, I was probably like 5 years old, and we brought in this one little lamb. And, you know, Popeye was pretty big in our house, and olive oil. And so the lamb's name was Sweet Pea. Remember little Sweet Pea? And we used to have to feed Sweet Pea with a bottle. And this lamb lived in our house. I mean, and it, somehow or another it got trained. It would go outside to do its business, but we didn't think this lamb was ever going to leave the house. That he was one of us. Until probably later on when it was time to... time to put Sweet Pea in the freezer. No. Well, you did that on the farm, you know? You needed a chicken for dinner. You went out and you got a chicken and you took care of it. But my dad, he loved these sheep. A lot of it had to come from the 23rd Psalm, the shepherd psalm, about the shepherd caring for the sheep. It meant so much to him how God has taken, he wanted to get sheep. I got to tell you, growing up on the farm, I did not have the affinity for sheep that my father had. Especially as I got older and it came time for me to do chores, I did not like the sheep like Dad. I didn't like any of the animals like Dad. Dad, I know you're going to be watching this week. Sorry. They were much more work and chores for me, you know. we had this one sheep. His name was Billy. Billy was a male sheep. Other than Sue, anyone know what they call male sheep? Huh? Ram. They call him a ram. You know why they call him rams? I'm a little boy, and I was carrying water from the barn out to this one pasture. I don't know what I had to go for. I had to bring water out. So I've got these two buckets. I mean, I can barely lift them up. And I put the buckets through the fence, one, then the other, and then I climbed underneath it, and I turned around. I was picking the buckets back up, and Billy saw me. He must have came from a good 50 feet away. And I'm a little boy. I'm maybe like 7 now, and I'm trying to pick up these buckets, and he hit me from behind. Knocked me right into that fence. Now, that fence had these little things on it called barbs. It was a barbed wire fence, and it had electricity running through it. I was carrying two buckets of water. Greg thought he invented breakdancing. No, it was when I was 7. I did not have an affinity for the sheep like my dad did, let me tell you. I'm thinking, I'm going to get me a sheep. Billy, his days are marked. And that's pretty easy. You know, it's not too hard to beat up a sheep. It's not too hard to take out a sheep. You know, they may think they're bad, but they're not. They're not. There isn't such a thing as a bad sheep, okay? Billy may be a ram, but there isn't. Kim was saying that it makes kind of us feel stupid watching the sheep and everything. And it's kind of interesting because what animal are we compared to in the Bible? We're compared to German shepherds, aren't we? We're tough. We're, you know, Achtung. You know, I don't know German. I know nothing. But we're compared to sheep. German shepherds are tough. Why couldn't we be a German shepherd? No, we're compared to sheep. And you're right, Kim. Sheep are really stupid. They'll be following. They follow each other every, you know. That's what they do. They don't have any mind of their own. They're just going to follow. So if one sheep happens to be leading, and normally they're always going down, and they normally go on this path to go up to the barn and get fed, get water. Say one sheep's leading, and he decides to go the other way. What do the other sheep do? I don't know. What's going on? I don't know. He's going. I'm going to go that way too. You know, they're really stupid. You know, we're not like that. I mean, we don't follow people. We don't do things just because other people do things, or you know, we don't dress a certain way, or try to be cool just because other, you know. Well, maybe we are a little bit just like sheep. Maybe you're right. Maybe. But the one thing there is they're not tough. Do you know that sheep die easily? I mean, you can literally scare a sheep to death. We had this one little sheep. He went out into the horse pasture. And again, we had 13 horses. and the sheep's running around out there eating and things. I don't know what the horses were thinking. They saw him, so they all ran out of the barn, and they start running around the horse. I mean, they're probably thinking Nerf ball or something, you know, a little fuzz ball there. The sheep just fell over and died. Just scared. Do you know if a sheep falls over on its back, it can't get back up? Seriously. Now, I have a video I could show you guys of a sheep falling over on its back. Boy, he had a hard time getting up. I'm only kidding. You want to see Vinny's video? See me afterwards. We out here this last week, we had these bouncy bounces, and this one was like this obstacle course, and the kids just kept going through it one after another, and finally this one kid, Andrew, challenged me to do it, and it's like, oh man, I don't want to do that, but what am I going to do? So I took my shoes off, and I got ready to go, and I took off. I got over the first thing, and I kind of bounced and jumped over it, and when I did it, my calf cramped up on me. It's like, oh, I'm so, I landed over the side. My calf's cramping up. This kid hadn't gotten over yet. So that's all right. So I'm trying to get up on this bouncy bounce. And it's hard to do, especially if you happen to be a guy maybe my size, maybe a little bit too big for my size. And so Andrew finally gets by me. So I have to grab him and knock him down. And finally we get over this other thing, and he's ahead of me. So I grab him, I pull him down, and then I kind of like do this army crawl over the top of him to get out and pef little Andrew back there. I won. I couldn't walk. My calf still hurts today. I'm hoping by tomorrow it'll loosen up. I have to play in the Youth for Christ golf tournament, and hope it's looser by then. But sheep, they really do. They really die easy. I mentioned Billy to you. I made it a pact that I was going to get me a sheep, and it was going to be Billy. Billy was walking down alongside the barn one day, and I came around the corner, and I saw him. He didn't see me. I jumped back, got back around the barn. I'm thinking, I'm going to get me a sheep. I was looking for something I could hit him with. There wasn't anything there. And I know Billy's coming around the corner, so he came around the corner, and I just go, boom! He died. Fell over. Try explaining that to your dad. Jay, what happened to Billy? Dad, I said, boo. He died. What'd you hit him with? Dad, I didn't hit him. No, actually, that's not true. But they do die easy. I didn't kill any sheep, okay? I'm not a sheep killer. Woodchucks, frogs, other things, yeah, but not sheep. But they do. They die easy. Aren't you glad as humans, we don't die easy? Well, wait a minute. We kind of do. We kind of think, especially if we're the younger we are, the more indestructible we feel. The older we get, wow. you don't want to fall over on your back. You may not be able to get up. You know, you go through a bouncy bounce thing once, and then you don't go through it again. Unless you're getting married in a month or something, and then you keep going over and over again. They made it do it. But we just saw, just this week, how many celebrities died this week? You know, you look at the biggest shock was probably Robin Williams. You know, I grew up with him as Mork. You know, anybody watch him as Mork as a little kid? I see some hands up there. Reruns? You guys watch them on reruns? No, you never watched Mork and Mindy reruns? Are you serious? Jasmine, no? Okay, there we go. You know, some of these younger people, you got to know. But you kind of, you know, for me, kind of grew up watching this guy. Really sad. But there's no, it's kind of interesting. You don't really see any indication in his life through his interviews, anything about his relationship. We look back, we know his father was Episcopalian. His mother was really, wasn't in following any type of a Christian stream anyway. It was called Christian Scientists or Christian Science. It's more of a cult than it is anything else. kind of followed more his mother's teachings a little bit. Matter of fact, whenever they interviewed him and they talked about God, he always made a joke about it. But you got to wonder, what's he facing today? I don't know. I don't know. Actually, I know everybody here better than I knew Robin Williams. I mean, some of you, we may know each other just a little bit, but I know all you better than I knew him. Probably someone in the church that knew him. But it's kind of sad. You know, we're on week 12 of this, What Would Jesus Tweet? And I got to tell you, I still haven't got the hang of it. I always have to pause when I read the tweet because it takes me a minute to register, no matter how much I practice it. But if Jesus were to tweet Matthew 7, 12 through 14, maybe he would have tweeted this. What you want done to you, do to others. Wide and easy is the road that leads to destruction. Narrow and hard, the road that leads to life. Hashtag golden rule. I like reading it from the scripture. So let's look at it from the scripture. Jesus is speaking to us now. And remember, this whole idea, this Sermon on the Mount, you know, Jesus put this into like a 14-week series that he got in front of people and he spoke to them about these little bits and pieces, right? No, Jesus kind of got up and talked about all these things. Just one setting. He's kind of just talking to people. And it's almost kind of beginning to summarize. He's getting to the end. You know, he's getting to the end of the chapter here. So he begins to summarize. He wasn't talking in chapters. I'm sorry. But he knows he's coming to the end of his message. And he says this, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also for them. This is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate that is wide and the way that is easy leads to destruction. And those who enter by it, are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Just a few verses here, and I just want to talk a few minutes about it. And actually, what I'd like to do is I'd like to drop into that bottom part, talking about the narrow and the wide. And I'll get back to what we know as the golden rule. Is there anyone, I won't raise your hand, but I bet you there's people here who haven't heard the phrase the golden rule before. I bet you there are. Don't raise your hand if you haven't. But we, you know, when I was growing up, we kind of heard of the golden rule, and I think we got away from it. You know, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Kind of growing up, my dad would always say, you know, do unto others before they do it unto you. That didn't go over. What else did my dad say? Forgive and forget, but first get even? You know, that doesn't fit into the golden rule either. No response again. Good morning, city! No. Anyone alive here? Hello? But this narrow road and this wide road. You know, Jesus talks that there's two roads. There's the wide road that leads to destruction. There's this wide road. It's the easy road. It's the road that, generally speaking, that I'd be on because I like the easy road. You know, the path of least resistance. I like that type of stuff. You know, doing in a hard way. No, I'm going to take the easy way. That's generally how I am. I think God's begun to change that over the last 5 decades. Because Jesus says, you know, narrow is the road that leads to life. And we kind of have these two choices, he says. You know, as Christians, we've kind of added a third road, haven't we? We have the wide road that leads to destruction, and we've got the narrow road that leads to life, but we kind of have a middle of the road. You know, we can have kind of one foot in the world and living the way we want, and we can have the other foot in with Jesus, and we're hanging out with Jesus in church and things like that. And probably Jesus didn't realize that there was a third road, because he would have mentioned it if there was. So maybe there wasn't a third road. You know, we get this idea that maybe Jesus didn't really mean what he said. Maybe he was just kind of an idea, and if we could just memorize it a little bit, maybe get together with other people and study it a little bit, maybe then we'd be okay. But we don't really have to do it. It would be like me saying to Matt, hey, Matt, I want you to go clean your room. And a couple hours later, and he goes, Dad, you know, I want you to know, I've been thinking about what you've said. And you know what? I've got it memorized, Dad. I got it down. Matter of fact, I can say it back to you in Greek. I got it down. You know, Dad, later on, some of my friends are coming over, and we're going to talk about this new concept that you taught me about cleaning, and we're going to look at what it would be like if we had cleaned our room. Really? I'd be saying, Matt, give me the keys. You lost that. You get the clean room clean, you get it back. Well, Jesus, he doesn't say there's three roads. He says there's two. There's the road that's wide that leads to destruction, and there's the road that's narrow that leads to life. And oftentimes in the church people, the church lady, we think we're on the wide road. Or we think we're on the narrower, and we're on the wide road. I got to tell you, I've seen people on this wide road thinking they're on the narrow road, and they're leading this life that leads to destruction for them, for people around them, and brings hurt and pain to their lives. And God, Jesus is saying, I don't want you. I want you on the narrow road. The interesting thing about the narrow road, and this just kind of hit me this last week as I was looking at this. It's almost like we get this idea, okay, Jesus is saying, okay, Kyle, narrow road for you. Do that narrow road. I'm gonna stand up here, Kyle. I'm going to be watching down on you. You better do that narrow road. You don't do that narrow road. I'm going to stomp on you a little bit. And that's not what Jesus does at all. Problem is, sometimes as Christians, we act that way. Sometimes as Christians, we're known, okay, Kyle, you messed up here. And that's not how Jesus is at all. You know what the interesting thing is? And why I picked that video at the beginning? Because Jesus leads us on the narrow road. He doesn't say, Kyle, you go do that narrow road, and I'm going to stand here and watch you, make sure if you do it or you don't do it. Jesus said, Kyle, come follow me. I know the narrow road. I know the path that leads to life. Follow me. I know you. You know me. You know my voice. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. And Jesus doesn't sit back and say, go ahead, you're on your own. But he leads us on this path. He directs our steps. We know that Jesus' path wasn't easy. First, he's God. We can't really appreciate that because we can't grasp God. We're so minute, so shallow, so we just can't have the ability to comprehend how vast, how amazing God is. But God became like one of his creation. Think about that path. God became like us. Born of a teenage girl, a single mom, lived a hard life, working and striving to live and to exist. That was a hard life. We were talking earlier, we were praying for the persecuted church at our earlier service today. And God quickened to me this idea of, boy, we think of the things that we're going through as so hard and difficult. What are the Christians in Iraq going through right now? What are persecuted Christians all around the world? It doesn't necessarily make what we're going through insignificant. But if we compare it, it's like, wow, what I'm going through now isn't anything like that. Jesus knew, understood what it to go through that. He understood what it was like. He himself walked this life. It was hard. He himself walked that Calvary road where he was whipped and beaten and tortured. He remained silent all the way through it to the point of being nailed to the cross where he took our sin, our shame, and he died for us. He knows this path that led to death and separation from the Father for the worst thing he could have experienced, no longer having a relationship with God, the Father. So when the Holy Spirit raised him from the grave, now he's back with the Father interceding for us. He sent us his Holy Spirit to live in us now, to empower us. And what's great about it is Jesus doesn't say, Kim, I want you to go walk this road and I'm going to stand over here. The songs we were singing, he's walked with us every step. Jesus says, take the narrow path, but follow me. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to lead you into what you need to change in your life now. Hey, I'm glad how he brought you through here. He's saying, you came through this thing. That's great. Now we're going to come through this thing. And he continues to transform us little bit by little bit. That's the amazing thing. Jesus doesn't send us on the narrow way and say, go do it. He says, follow me. I'll lead you through. You know my voice. I know my sheep. You follow me. That's why I love that video. It was great seeing the streams of sheep coming together and just following the shepherd. That's what we need to do. And Jesus was saying here to follow him. You know my voice? You know these things? Follow me. But then he gets into this other thing, and he says in Matthew 4, he says, follow me. And then he indicates what it's going to look like if we follow him. I missed a bunch of slides there, Michonne. So I'm skipping all those. There we go. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Was that just for the 12 disciples? Was that just for... Okay, how are we going to fit that today? We don't have 12 disciples, but we have pastors and we have leaders. And is that just who that's for? No, he says, you're my disciples. This is what I'm going to make you to become. He says, we're to train people to obey everything that Jesus said. Jesus said, if you love me, you would obey me. So we look at these words and we look to follow them. It'd be like, you know, we can't be like Matt saying, oh, Dad, I studied what you had to say. I memorized the words you said to me. No, he cleans his room. So now it's not enough just to memorize the words of Jesus. It's not enough to understand the Greek that goes, but we obey him in it. And what comes out of it is Jesus makes us like himself. We're to walk this road that he's walked. He leads us this way. He empowers us now. He says, it's better I go, because I send you my Spirit who lives in you. Will lead you into all the lead you into all truth. He'll be the one who will be able to teach you everything that I have for you so that you can obey me. So that we become the fishers of men. This is what, it's always been God's intention. It's never been in his intention to have this middle road. It's either you're with God or you're not. There is no middle road. Either we follow him and obey him or we don't. Now we go back to the golden rule. Matthew 7, verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Leave that up there, Michonne. As you think about that, do unto others as you'd have them do. Who's done unto us? Jesus. What would you want done to you? How do you want to be treated? How do you want to be cared for? How do you want to be loved? Guess who's done that already? Jesus has. He's shown us that. Now he's kind of saying, go and do likewise. Do the things that I've done. Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but to love the world, that the world might be saved through him. And now, as ambassadors of Jesus, that's what we do. That's when we look out and we say, gee, what do I do in this situation? This person here cut me off. This person here is right on my tail. This person here doesn't talk to me at work. This person here, by the way, Greg, you need to start talking to me at work. You can't go anywhere. This person here, we treat them as we would want them to treat us. Just as Jesus has done to us, we do to others. That's why we put together this, we didn't put it together, but that's why we stole this concept. We didn't really steal it. Love 2020. Because God's called all of us, every one of us, who knows Jesus to follow him, and we're going to become like him. In becoming like him, we're going to be concerned with the things he's concerned with. Jesus is concerned for people who don't know him. So we do this, love 2020. God, who's someone? Bring someone into my life that I can love and care for and pray with and share with so they would know you. Don't raise your hands, but are you using that bookmark? Do you have names written down? Is it a focus in your mind? Lord, I am praying for Stella. Lord, she needs to know you. I don't know a Stella, but I'm praying that they may come to know you. Lord, would you bless them in their life? And then, Lord, give me opportunities to love them, to do unto them as I wish they would do to me. How do I want to be cared for and loved and treated? See, Jesus is summing up all these things. He goes, again, this is what all the law and the prophets have to deal with. This is what it's all about, is that others would come to know Jesus and the Father. You know, I'm not a very complicated guy, obviously. You know, I make bad jokes and things like that. You know, you already know that. Very simple. And I think Jesus teaches us very simple. And I think we just need to follow him. Listen to him. Do the things he would do. Because he's in us. He's leading us. Part of it is we need to still the other voices. Because we hear these other voices. We're like those stupid sheep who would go the wrong way, do the wrong thing because of these other voices. I love the way that video started out with the guy doing some kind of, I don't know what he did, I can't imitate it. But all the sheep started gathering and following because they heard his voice. My prayer for you is that you would hear God's voice and follow after him. Now we're going to do the thing we always do at this time. I'm just going to ask that you just kind of center yourself. Just come kind of quiet with the Lord. Close your eyes and just kind of think about Jesus and this idea. You know, as you're doing that, maybe some of the things that I was able to share today struck you in your heart a little bit. Maybe you never really considered being a follower of Jesus. But this idea of knowing him, you'd like to explore a little bit. We'd like to help you with that if you're interested. We have a book that you could read that talks about a fresh start with God. Pastor Greg or myself or others would be glad to just talk to you about how we experienced that. But if that's kind of you today, everyone's kind of got their eyes closed and stuff, and you've never explored Jesus, but you'd like to attempt that, I would just ask that you might just look at me. Nothing really strange. Just look up at me and say, that's where I'm at. I'd like to explore knowing Jesus. Okay, thanks. Maybe you're the other person here today who, you know, you believe that there's these two roads. or there's three roads. You're in the middle road. You're okay. You memorize some of the things about God, but you don't really apply those things to your life. And you want to take that step further. Lord, I'm praying for folks like that today. Lord, the reality is we probably all get into that. None of us here, Lord, follow you perfectly. None of us here, Lord, obey you perfectly. We all sin, we all fall short. Lord, I just thank you that first you died for us, and that's sufficient. There's nothing we can do to earn a place with you and the Father. It's by your work and what you've done. Lord, I ask that you challenge us. You expose these areas that we've tried to walk with the world and walk with you at the same time. And Lord, I pray you bring a conviction to us. Holy Spirit, that's what we ask, that you would show these things in our lives, that you would change our lives, transform us. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you, Lord, that we're committed to walk together through this life, becoming more like you, so that the world sees you clear. So that, Lord, the world would see our good deeds and praise you in heaven, that our light might shine, that your light would shine through us. Father, I just thank you for my brothers and my sisters. Lord, I just ask this in Jesus' name.